All right, come on up, Lonnie. He shared a few weeks ago for about 10 minutes. It was so powerful. And I really saw he really does have a well and a lot to give. And so we wanted to have him come up and share what the Lord put on his heart.
I picked out something that those who've been in my class are going to be a little familiar with, but it's out of my workshop, and I'm going to start presenting workshops again, probably in January or February. And I wanted to introduce it to the people of the church. We have a new crowd now. It's been a big turnover. And Paul and I were talking one night, and he recommended I do it. So I thought, well, since I got to speak today, I will use one of my part of my class to interest people who are going to be around. And I will be. It not only is for this church, but I use it for people around town too. I've had quite a few of them. It's called Your Passion, Your Destiny, and I have some booklets up here that are promotional items. If you'd like to have one, just come up and grab one. But it tells you about what I do. I'm a destiny coach, and I'm here to speak to people about their destiny and their passions. And I do 4 workshops, and I do a little coaching session afterwards with a one-on-one with people and help people to find out where they're heading. I don't point it out. I help them. I have some great testimonies, and I don't know if there's anybody here, but I have had a lot of people that's had amazing calls on their life just from attending this workshop. Anyway, I want to go to a scripture in Isaiah 2:2-3. There's a day coming when the mountain of God's house will be the mountain, solid, towering over all mountains. All nations will river toward it. People from all over set out for it. They'll say, come, let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of God of Jacob. He'll show us the way. He works so we can live the way we're made. The way we're made. And Micah chapter 4, verse 1, but in the latter days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. In Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Rayleigh, you have Psalm 139.
For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you.
Before the spoken word, they danced together, fellowshipping in perfect unison, sharing, planning, meditating, designing. The Holy Spirit, in anticipation, began to brood over the chaos, waiting and in his mind thinking, creating, filled with joy at what was about to come forth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were in total unity, total agreement. It is now. It begins. When Father spoke, the Son carried the Logos, the life-creating word. The Holy Spirit, listening, acted and created. Yet they all acted and created. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit saw it all in a flash, before time, then in time, the Alpha and the Omega. They knew it all, and they rejoiced. There was nothing that was going to deter their plan for creation. They were filled with joy at their created magnificence brought into being. Most of all, their delight and anticipation at relationship with their ultimate workmanship, the human. The heavens shook with gladness. The angels praised, marveled, and witnessed in awe of this great new being. As we might look down into the crib of a newborn baby, all life in heaven beamed, wide-eyed with love and joy at this new member, a human. What would he be like? Only his creator knew. Already before time began, the designers had placed in this human the abilities that reflected his source. The human was destined to be ruler over the earth. As his source is creative, he will be creative. The source, the creator, in his infinite wisdom, placed in the human exactly the passions and destinies to be fulfilled during the times designated for him on earth. I was preparing for these classes. Paul's my main man, and he and I were talking one night, and we decided after a long couple hours discussion that it would be good for the church to discover its destiny. And how, if people would discover their destiny, the church could rise up. I went home and I started writing up these lessons. And while I was praying, God gave me this to read. And I read this to every group that I teach. It's his. I would have never wrote that. He wrote it, he gave it to me, and I wrote it, and I've read it to everybody I've ever had a class with since. So, I got a question for you. Have you ever heard God's voice? Have you ever heard God's voice? Anybody ever heard God's voice? Nobody? A few nods. Okay. Does anyone know how Papa speaks? Anybody have any idea how Papa speaks? All right. Somebody tell me how he speaks. Does he speak one way? That's right. He does. He speaks many different ways, and we all know that. Not only does he speak through people, but he speaks through books, environments, atmospheres, unlimited ways. Donkeys, yeah, he does that too. Have you ever noticed the increase in, I'm not used to using a microphone. I got a loud voice. I never use this. Have you noticed the increase in the conversation anywhere on destiny, the word destiny? Has it increased? Have you seen it increase? Have you heard it? I mean, I even know a publication company named Destiny. God speaking destiny. It seems to me that some voices are almost shouting destiny. But yet, it seems like it comes across as a whisper. Like, could Papa be searching for those who are really tuned in to his voice? I think he's looking for sensitive ears, and he's looking for sensitive hearts, and he's not going to make it easy for us. Those who are hungry for God hear best. Jeremiah 29.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places, whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive.
Do you believe your Creator has a design for you on planet Earth?
Da-da-da!
Do you believe that he has a call for you on planet Earth? Okay, if he has a purpose for you, a destiny prepared just for you, what is your responsibility? Somebody said that. To do it. Okay, that's act on it. You're right, exactly. You have to discover the plan, and then you have to act on it. Well, how do you discover the plan? Anybody know? How do you discover your plan? Yes? He's already been to my class. Yes, Joshua, you are exactly right. But what else? Ooh, okay. Relationship. Y'all don't know probably Carrie Andrews, but she was in my class. She used to come to this church. And in her class, we had a big class, I wrote out a sign like this, and I put relationship across it. And every time I brought up the word relationship, I'd stop, and she'd have to raise up the sign. And it said relationship. That's the most important thing you can have, is a relationship with God. So all of God's people in the Word had a plan. So we all have a plan. And if you read the Bible from cover to cover, you're going to find out there's amazing plans. In the plan, you're going to find issues of life, burning bushes, defining moments, choices. What else do you have in a plan? Anybody have any idea? Probably the most important thing, one of the most important things. What else do you have in a plan? How do you get the preparation? He's designed a path for each one of us. Each one of us has a designed path. He designed each one of us before the universe was ever created, and he's put every one of us on a path. So he's had each one of us in mind from before the beginning. Each one of us. He knows your name, and he knows what he's put inside you. My question is, do you know what he's put inside you? Or have you even tried to find out? Okay, remember, you were not designed for 1902, 1956, or 1776. You were designed for now. You're on a timeline, and Rayleigh popped up here, and Paul popped up there. Travis popped up there. We all popped up somewhere. So he put us on a timeline, and we are responsible for discovering what we're supposed to do on our timeline. How do you find out what you're supposed to do? Pull up my sign. Relationship. The plan is a path specifically for you and for me to accomplish. Our choices, our decisions, our responses on the path determine how effectively we get to and operate in our destiny. Deborah's got a destiny, don't you? All right. I got a question for you, class. Who would you rather follow? A leader who says, follow me. I know exactly where I am going. Or, follow me. I don't know where I am going, but I'm certain I am being led and open to what is emerging. Before you answer that, read Hebrews 11:8 and help them get the answer. Because they probably don't know the answer. Does anybody know the answer? One or two? Everybody's always afraid to answer that. Okay. Well, we're going to give you the answer here in just a minute. Obviously, it's going to come from the Lord. I mean, go ahead, Rayleigh, read that. Hebrews 11:8.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have, after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went.
Okay, does anybody know what the answer is? Number two. Exactly. Abraham was a prime example of the second statement because it's a faith statement. The number one statement, the leader may be confidently going in the wrong direction, then what? But the second statement has less ego in it, in being right, and more open to the way forward. So what am I saying about God's revealed destiny to you when I talk about that? You think God's talking to you? You will also walk in the steps of Abraham. Experience seasons when you knew what you're looking for, but have no idea, no clue how to get there. That's for everybody. So be excited. You're going to be like, what's his name? Harrison Ford, when he had to step out of that cave. And he had to go across to the other side, and it was a cliff, and he had to have faith to step out, and there was nothing there. You remember that story? Yeah, I thought of it. Every time I watch that movie, I think about stepping out in faith. You don't know, baby, until you trust him. Okay, so we start with a call to your passion and your destiny. We have a vision. We see something from Papa. We step out onto a path of choices, trusting God to lead us. And there's a couple of other things that's going to really help you along the way. And there's two of them that I want to talk about. One of them we've already talked about, relationship. And number two is obedience, heavy-duty word. Relationship and obedience is going to get you everywhere. It's going to get you everything. We will learn where we are going. We will learn from our mistakes And we will learn about God and his ways through relationship and obedience. God will release, he will release over time a strategy and principle that will help you successfully attain your passion and your destiny. Now, I have a warning. Someone else knows the plan, and he's used it a whole lot better than we have. And he's very aggressive in following it, and he's done it for centuries. And if I mentioned Mein Kampf, the Communist Manifesto, Humanist Manifesto 1 and 2 by John Dewey, and Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, would that help you? Who knows the plan better than we do, other than God, the enemy? Every one of those books I just mentioned, the plan's in there. And they've used it with expertise. I mean, y'all know, you've studied history. You've seen what they've done. Hitler was fantastic at it. So I want to talk to you about what God's plan is. That's right here. This big mountain, as we all know, is the kingdom. That's God's kingdom. And of course, this is all symbolic. It's just so you can get a picture of what you're really doing. The big mountain is God's kingdom, and the little squirrely thing going across through there is the second heaven. This is the third heaven, God. That's the second heaven. That's where your prayers go through. And then look in Daniel 10:10-14. I have a good example of that in Daniel. In fact, we were just reading that the other day.
And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days.
As I was saying before, this is God's kingdom, the third realm. This is the second realm, where you have to pray through and you're going to get interference. It's like the angel told Daniel. He said, I heard you the first time, but it took me 21 days to get through this mess, fighting with the angel of Persia. And he finally got to him, but it took time. What's that tell you about your prayers? Should tell you something. You don't give up. Right, Reverend, you're right. All right. Right here. These are little mountains. And what they are is what they call cultures. There's seven cultures been identified throughout the world, in this country, wherever you're at. Okay? One culture is religion. That's where we're sitting right now. We're in the religious mountain right now, the religious culture. Okay? Then you got the family culture. Then you got education. You got entertainment, government, media, and finance. And business. At the top of each one of these mountains is a portal. That portal is an authority. It's an access to even get power to get through. Okay? These mountains, everyone is after. I got a little question for you. Do you have any idea in the United States who controls any of these mountains? Some of you that's been in my class probably already know, unless you forgot. Anybody have any idea? The enemy controls every mountain in the United States as of right now. They did not control them in the 1800s, but in the 1900s, they began to control them through a religion. In the religious mountain, we'll talk about the religious mountain. Name some big name churches, denominations. Catholic, Baptist, right off the bat. Those are the two largest groups in the United States. But there's Episcopals, there's Lutherans, Methodists, you got all of them. Now, you missed a bunch. Who'd you miss? Not Christian religions, New Age, Islam, Muslim religions, Hindus, anybody else? Jews, Unitarians. Okay, and then we named a bunch of religions. Now tell me, which one of those religions controls the top of the mountains? Or one of them? Or the religious mountain? Anybody know? Wouldn't it be the Catholics are the biggest, right? Wouldn't they be the biggest? They don't. They don't rule it. They don't influence everything on this mountain. They have a lot of influence, but they don't rule everything. They don't control everything. These are cultures. Okay? Who do you think it is? Any idea? Rayleigh probably remembers. Well, I cheated because I didn't name that one while we were talking. But the religion, the principles that have been discovered on how they take these cultures is that the radicals in every culture are the ones that control the top of the mountains. And most of them are less than 6%. Less than 6%. In the religious mountain, it's less than 4% controls the mountain. And it's the secular humanists. They control the religious mountain. They feed more influence, information, etc., into different churches than any other group. They have split dozens of the biggest denominations because of nominal Christians with secular humanist beliefs. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Secular humanists controlling the denominations. All of them. They have them everywhere. And now I'll tell you a little more. The secular humanists rule the top of all the mountains in the United States. All of them. They have more influence over parents and families. They have more influence over education. I mean, a lot of you know this. If you're a teacher, you've seen it in the textbooks. It's all over the place. How do you think they ever convince people to abort babies? Entertainment? It's all over entertainment. Government? We've seen that ever since Woodrow Wilson. The media? All over the media. You might have two big ones that are not. The rest of them are. They're under the influence of the secular humanist religion. And business and finance. A lot. What's the name of that, what do they call that technical group in California? Yeah. What? Silicon Valley, yeah. Silicon Valley's loaded. Loaded with them. So less than 4% influences all the mountains in America. They have access to all the portals for authority to control those mountains. The concept is, God says, this was his principle, is that whoever gets to the top first wins. Whoever gets to the top first wins. They have control. In the military, I'm an old military man, 20 years in the Air Force, they have an inspector general that comes in and he inspects your bases and they interview everybody. They get a feel for the base right away just by checking out the lowest ranking people first. They know what's going to happen. Now, why would they know that? Just by asking the people at the bottom and never asking anybody at the top. Well, in the Air Force, we have a bad word for it, so I won't repeat it. I do it in my workshops, but I won't repeat it here. Travis has sensitive ears. But blank rolls downhill. Blank rolls downhill. That's what the Air Force says. Blank rolls downhill. If those guys at the bottom are messing up, it's the general's fault. It's coming from there, ultimately. Attitudes, things he said, what he's doing, it all flows downhill. And that's why the enemy wants control of all the mountains, because then he controls everything on that mountain. Interesting? Some of you might know that stuff already. I get fired up every time I talk about this part. It makes me mad, because God's plan is for us to take those mountains. And the only way you can take those mountains is if you're walking in your destiny. Now, Rick Joyner gives us some statistics about 3 years ago that 90% of the church, 90% are not in their destiny. 90%. 10% know about it, understand it, but only between 3 and 5% are actively in it. Now, how can we help these mountains if we only have 3 to 5% that are actively in their destinies? That's the whole purpose behind what I do. He's called me, my destiny, is to help people find their destiny. Not tell them what it is, just to help you, get you in the right direction. And he's trying to say, through all these four classes, that in relationship with me, you're going to find out. And the sad thing about it is, everybody's scared to death of their destinies. They're afraid of them. They're afraid they're going to have to go somewhere or do something that they don't want to do. When in fact, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God, what did I say earlier? What did I say before the universe was ever created? What did I say? He already knew me. He already put it in you. You've been reflecting it ever since you were 5 years old or younger. You love what he wants to put you in. Everybody I have coached in these one-on-one coaching sessions, when they had discovered who they were, some of them would break down and weep. Some would just holler and dance. I mean, I can't even just... I still remember Matthew Louder. He won't mind me using his name. But we were at a tent meeting down here on Carolina Beach. And he walks up to me like this with big eyes. It was 2 months after he and I had had a coaching session. And he said, Lonnie, you're not going to believe what I got to tell you. And I said, what? He says, I got cows. And I said, you got cows? I knew he was into farming and all this stuff, but cows is not what we talked about. But he said somebody gave him land up in, where's the retreat center? Moravian Falls. Gave him a farm that had all the buildings on it and a lake, and he could have a retreat center on it, animals, hydroponic plants. He could have everything. I about flipped out. It only been 2 months. And before, he and his wife both came to my class. She said, when I coached her, she said, he can't do it. He can't do it. I can't agree with, I'm not on the same wavelength as he is. I don't want to do the same things he wants to do. So I said, okay, look, here's what we talked about over the last hour. Take it home and compare it with his, because I never told either one of them what we had talked about. And I said, pray together. A few days later, they came back and says, we're on the same page. We were just looking at it from different perspectives. We're on the same page. And not only that, I talked to them maybe a year ago. They said that not only were they out of that farm, now they had a bigger farm with bigger and better of everything. That's only one of probably tons I could give you. I mean, I had a guy, his name was... can't remember his name. He worked for paint company. What's the famous paint companies? Sherwin-Williams. He worked for Sherwin-Williams. He was the low man on the totem pole in poverty. I met him by accident at Exonado out there in Holly Ridge. And he said, I want to come to your class. Because I was some friends that were his friends. And they said, hey, this guy does destiny. He said, I want to come to your class. So he came to the class, went through all the class, did the coaching, did everything he was supposed to do, and he came and gave me a testimony. He says, I'm going to Oklahoma. I said, what happened? This was like in 6 months. He said, we went through four people. I won't give you the whole details because I'll be here all day. But the first one, there were three people that worked with him, above him. The top guy got the job first and got fired. The second guy, he just didn't like the job and quit. I forget what happened to the third guy, but they asked him. He said, look, we know you don't have the experience as a manager, but we'd like for you to hold down the fort until we find somebody. Okay? And he said, okay. Well, he did just what Joseph did. Y'all need to learn about Joseph. He performed with superior results. That's one of the keys to your success, is superior results. And he said, they came to him and said, we don't want to hire somebody else. We'd like to hire you. And he said, I'll take it. He took the job, worked there a year. The home office called him from Oklahoma City and said, we would like for you to come work for us as a regional manager. Here he was, a guy, and nobody, he never had a chance in the world until he connected with God on it. And I really believe it's the workshop, it's the coaching, but it's really a testimony to God. He said, look, God, I'm coming to this thing because I'm looking for what you are wanting. And that's what he felt. He felt, I need to show him that I was passionate. And he got the job, went out and became a regional manager in Oklahoma. And then he's gone from there. As far as this is concerned, there's more stories I could tell you, like the Muslims. The Muslim Brotherhood, anybody ever heard of the Muslim Brotherhood? In the religious mountain, they control all the Muslim countries in the Middle East as far as religion is concerned. And religion in those countries are mostly Islam that comes out of the Muslim Brotherhood. And Islam is a religion that is not only a religion, but it's a ideology. And they use both of those to control mountains all over the Middle East. You've heard of Al Jazeera news media? They control it. 200 million Muslims listen to that media. They rule in the Middle East. They rule in the Middle East. What God wants is he wants you and 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 me to be ruling these mountains. But the only way we're going to get it done is if we discover through what our destiny is. When we get that done, we'll rule. There's tons more, but that was my taste I wanted to give you today. In case you're interested, I got little booklets, I got business cards, and you can call me, whatever. We'll probably be setting one up in January or February, and I'll let you know.